let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Getting Right with God by Joseph C. Way was written primarily for professing Judeo-Christians, but it applies to everyone. It challenges the status quo of many modern-day religious beliefs and practices while offering a logical, factual, and specific alternative. Much of the book is controversial. It argues for a human Jesus with no necessity for a crucifixion, no sacrificial death as a blood offering, no ransom, no heaven and hell, and others. Now, the process for getting right and remaining right with God was first discovered by the ancient Hebrews. To this day, we get the right with God by loving Him above all else and loving our neighbor as ourself. Joseph Way was born on a small farm in southern Mississippi along with six siblings. After graduating from high school with highest honors, he entered Millsaps College, earning a BA. 1 year later, he entered Vanderbilt Divinity School, earned a Bachelor of Divinity and a Master of Divinity. For 42 years, an active minister in the United Methodist Church, 23 as an Air Force chaplain, 5 as a VA chaplain, and 14 as a pastor of local churches. In 1964, due to his efforts to promote integration, he was forced to leave the state to protect and provide for his family and himself. For his efforts to promote integration, he was awarded membership in the Who's Who in American Methodism. Joseph is a certified therapist for alcohol and drug abuse and wrote a book outlining a new approach to recognition and treatment called A Pain in the Gut. Joseph and his wife of 65 years now live in a retirement community in Georgetown, Texas. And Joseph Way, author of Getting Right with God, is our guest on This Week in America. Joseph, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
It's a really important book, and we'll get the information, Joseph's website, all of that as we go through. So much of what you talk about deals with human nature. That's sort of the foundation for who we are and getting right with God. What is our basic human nature? What have you found?
Well, it appears to me that our basic nature is to love. We have to love something. That's just a part of us. And the interesting thing is that when we love something, we're always going to find something we love the most. Now, I wish someone had told me years ago that the word love also means to value. So our nature is to value something, and whatever we value most is our God, regardless of what or who we think it is. So this can cover a wide range of things, and there are many who proclaim one God or to love one thing more than something else, but in actuality, in behavior and practice, they do not love that the most. So we need to be careful what we are loving.
Well, that's interesting. And the definition and all of this is in Joseph's book, Getting Right with God. His website, very simple. It's the title of the book, gettingrightwithgod.com. You'll find it at Amazon, all of the usual places, and link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You touched on something here that's important as well. Is there more than one God?
Yes, indicated that whatever one loves most, by definition, is God, for God is that which controls us. And so there are all kinds of gods out there. Even the ancient people of long ago, you know, thought they had found certain gods that they worshiped. And still in our day, there are different gods. But if one subscribes to the Judeo-Christian principles, then there is the only one God, the God of creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as we refer to him here. So many gods, to use a proper term or proper definition, only one God, if one is going to talk about it from the Judeo-Christian position.
This book answers questions and will get you thinking. It will bring up other questions to get you thinking. The book is Getting Right with God by Joseph C. Way, W-A-Y, our guest and the author on the program. I mentioned in the beginning, the book is controversial. It argues for a human Jesus with no necessity for a crucifixion. That brings up the question, who was Jesus? How do you answer that when someone asks you that question?
I could talk probably all day about this particular issue. We really don't know, to be absolutely honest, and I've tried to be as honest and factual and scholarly as I can be in the book. So to be honest, we don't know. But there are some hints that help us to know who he was. Most likely, he was a nondescript Jewish child born to perhaps a peasant family or maybe someone a little bit above the peasant class. One of the reasons to say this is that the gospel writers are certainly not in agreement as to who Jesus was, and they have different stories, different events. And as an aside, we have difficulty with the gospel writers as they talk about Jesus, because each gospel writer has his own axe to grind.
Yes.
And scholars who study them can point that out to those who are interested. And so each of them has Jesus in a different role and talked about him in a different way. So that's one of the reasons we know so little. Now, the gospel writers talk about like they have been right there with Jesus, but one needs to back up from that approach. The Gospel of Mark, written somewhere around 70 or maybe a little later, Matthew, written around 80 A.D., Luke, maybe 80, 85, John, the most loved gospel, written last, around 100, 110. So how do these people know precisely what Jesus said or who Jesus was? I would say that he was a human being because God does not change his rules. Jesus was born, I think, without fanfare. I would say that because when you read in the Gospels, and one of the hints you find is that his mother was not aware of any special nature of her child. Now, if Mary went through what they say she did in the Gospels, then I believe she would have remembered something about how special her child was. And so Jesus reached back in his ministry, pulled out of the ancient Hebrew text, back what the early Hebrews pronounced, and also what the great biblical prophets, Isaiah, Micah, Hosea, these prophets proclaimed the same thing that the ancient Hebrew said, and then Jesus came along and repeated that in order to get right with God, you got to love God above all else and your neighbor as yourself. And so if this is the process of getting right with God, and if God was offering this same directive for getting right with him throughout the Old Testament, why does he not continue it? I don't think God changes his rules, and so this is why I think Jesus was just a normal person. Well, I shouldn't say normal. He was a human being who was such a person that we really wish he was divine, because he calls us to be such a human being that we don't like it. So he was so unusual and yet loved so much, and especially God above all else and his neighbor as himself.
I told you this was going to be a thought-provoking program. The book, Getting Right with God, has all of this and so much more, and explained, as Joseph cannot do during the course of a brief interview, but he does so well in the book. The book is Getting Right with God. His website is gettingrightwithgod.com. Simple title, simple way to remember his website. Joseph C. Way, the book Amazon, the usual places, for 42 years an active minister in the United Methodist Church. You know, you said something that was interesting in talking about Jesus and who he actually was. Where did Jesus get his two primary directives? Where did that come from, do you think?
From the earliest understanding of the ancient Hebrews. Remember way back then, in the midst of all of the other gods in which they lived, somehow they discovered, I don't know the proper word, that God loved them, that a particular God loved them above all else. And all that he asked in return was that they love him or value him. He loved them, valued them, not because of anything they had done or anything they were. It's the fact that his nature is love. So God loved them, and this was Jesus' concept of God, that he is love. And the ancient Hebrews felt that he loved, and so that was where it started back then. And then, as I indicated earlier, the people drifted away from that teaching. The great biblical prophets, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, tried to call the people back. Well, they didn't stay back very long. They drifted again. And so then this is when the Jewish concept of sacrifices and these things began to enter the picture. Yeah. And then Jesus came along and saw what was going on in the Jewish religion of his day. And he did not buy into the sacrifice approach to getting right with God. And he reached back and got what Amos and Hosea, the great prophets, and what the ancient Hebrew people said, that in order to get right with God, one must value God above all else, and you must value your neighbor as yourself. Now, I think Jesus also would have talked about valuing the environment, the climate. I think he has something to say about the world in which we live, as he looked at those two basic requirements that had come down to him throughout the history of the Judeo-Christian religion.
So much in Joseph's book, Getting Right with God. Again, the website is the title of the book, gettingrightwithgod.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. What do you mean when you say there are laws that we did not make and cannot break? This is crucial. What do you mean by that?
Right. There are a number of them. For instance, water runs downhill. Pretty hard to get it to run uphill on its own, so there are a lot of them, but I'm thinking of something in particular about this law, if you want to call it law, this rule, this way to get right with God, is a law we didn't make and cannot break. This rule is applicable for every person. It is impossible to love something above all else and not have it affect the way we think of ourselves and the way we treat our neighbor. There's no way to avoid it. So if one loves his old 57 Chevy above all else, you see, it's going to determine what happens to him. It's going to determine his belief and actions in the rest of life. So the law is not just a religious law. It is a law of human nature. And that law also, I think, pertains to the universe in which we live. I think unless we love it, even as we love God, and treat it like it is a neighbor in kindness and with love and understanding, we're going to destroy it as well as ourselves and our neighbor, unless we enter into what I call appropriate love, which is trying to imitate God's love in us as best we can. So, and I think further that this rule is our process, and this is one of the things that made me so fascinated by it when I began to think about it. I think this is the way God operates. He offers love and care and concern to us because that's who he is. God can do nothing but love us because that's his nature. And so given the fact that God can only love us, that's one of the rules that we didn't make and can't break, then that says something about our understanding of God, about him being truthful.
Yes.
or him loving everyone regardless of who they are. It says that he doesn't send us to hell. We may send ourselves to some bad places, but that's not the way God does it, because of the law of love.
You know, it's interesting. Getting Right with God, the name of the book. Our guest is Joseph C. Way, book available at gettingrightwithgod.com, his website, Amazon, the usual places. A few minutes left in the program, going by way too quickly, but so much valid information, valuable information in the book. I mentioned this in the beginning. I want to touch on this briefly before we close here. In your view, why was there no need for predetermined crucifixion, blood sacrifice, ransom, and resurrection, something that we all is a focal point for so many of us?
Right. And I could go back and talk for hours.
Yes, I'm sure. And I said briefly, and that was unfair, but the best you can. And it's all laid out in the book, so pick up a copy of Getting Right with God. But,
well,
but briefly, give me your thoughts.
The problem is that the Apostle Paul came along after he had had his nervous breakdown and tried to redirect the message of Jesus into the Jewish process. And so if you come by the route of the Pauline theology, in which Jesus is stuffed into the Judaism of Paul's day, then you're going to come out with a need for the ransom and blood sacrifices and all of this. But if you accept what Jesus taught, that to love God above all else and your neighbor yourself, this leads to a process of being. You must be loving before you can do loving. That's Jesus' approach. In Paul's approach, you got to do something before you can be something. And say, Paul says that you got to accept this death and resurrection, all of the Jewish approach to religion, and not the approach that Jesus offered. And so, if you come by way that Jesus teaches, then it negates any need for all of the other.
A minute or so left here. I want to follow up with this. You've talked about this kind of living that you describe so vividly in Getting mm-hmm. Right with God. Why is it so necessary for us to practice this kind of living? Why is it necessary, and what are the ramifications if we don't?
My theory is that if we do not learn what it means to love God appropriately and our neighbor as ourselves, we're going to destroy ourselves and the planet on which we live. Now, I mention in the book that perhaps anyone who has a God by any name, but yet they worship them in loving him above all else and their neighbor as their self. Regardless of what name they give it, they are following the law of the universe. That's why I talked about that
yes.
earlier.
Yes.
The very law of the creation God. Now, we're going to do ourselves in, I think, I don't think there's going to be any cataclysmic end to the world because of the way God acts, and I don't think there'll be a final judgment. But I think we can destroy ourselves unless we learn to do what is best for us. I call this appropriate love. And, of course, this is love patterned after God. Inappropriate love would be anything that denounces or renounces life given to that kind of love. We are going to love. It just may be the wrong thing.
I'm going to take one more minute here because I'm fascinated. As you were doing the research and working on getting right with God, Joseph A., 42 years, was an active minister in the United Methodist Church. As you were doing this and coming to different conclusions, were you surprised by what, was there anything that surprised you as you were working on the research for getting right with God?
I wound up at a place I did not expect to.
I sort of thought
all
maybe that was the case.
All my years of work and study, the approach to Judeo-Christian religion just never sat quite right with me. And it was only when I made this connection of the ancient Hebrew revelation that God wants them to love them above all else, and neighbors as self, and then saw the Reformation attempted by the great biblical prophets, and then the failure, and then Jesus to come along and try to correct it, and now I'm wondering if we're failing. So the connection of these three points was the thing that finally, as I think I say in the book, sort of quieted the squiggle in my gizzard.
Well, a lot of people, I think, have that. You were able to go back and do the research and put this together. It's very thought-provoking. It's very eye-opening. If you've had questions, even if you haven't had questions, it's worth the read. It's why the book is doing so well and receiving rave reviews. The book is Getting Right with God by Joseph C. Way, W-A-Y. You'll find it Amazon, all the usual places, the bookstores, his website. Great information there is gettingrightwithgod.com. And you can link onto it on our website. Joseph, time went by too quickly. A pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. Excellent job. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
It's been our pleasure. Joseph C. Way, the book is Getting Right with God. Again, you'll find it at all the usual places, including his website, gettingrightwithgod.com, and information on our website. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.